Well, good morning, everybody. We want to welcome you this morning to our service, and those that are online watching this morning, we welcome you here to Columbian Methodist Church and glad you are with us. Just a few announcements. One is that we'll have a parent confirmation meeting February the 6th, and that'll be in the Senior Center 1115. So if your student has not been confirmed, come to that meeting, get information about the meeting, and then confirmation class will start the 20th of February, and that'll be right after church. Also, if you're a teen and you like to go on the winter retreat, the registrations are outside on the Welcome Center or on the Credenza. And if you know somebody that wants to go, take one with you, fill it out, and return it back to me by the 13th of February. As we come together this morning, let us come and let us prepare our hearts for worship together as we remember while we're here. And would you now please stand with me this morning as we recite the Apostles' Creed together, as we come together this morning and turn our hearts to God. For I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascendeth into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us worship together.
This morning we're going to start out by singing How Marvelous, singing about our Savior's love for us. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. For me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous! How marvelous!
Let us pray together this morning as we come. Let us remember Sally Lutz and Mary Catherine, as well as Sue Hinkle, who'll have back infusions on Thursday. And let's lift these individuals to our thoughts and our prayers today. So let us pray together. Lord, we come now before you and we ask, God, that you would just be with us here in your place of worship, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that our focus would be on you, and that you'd be pleased with our worship today, God. That as we come, we are reminded of everything you've done for us, how you provided for us, how you take care of us, how you've forgiven us, and how you are in relationship with us. And so, God, we come today and we say thank you for who you are. Thank you for all you've done. We thank you for our God that is caring and wants to be involved in our lives. And Lord, so this morning we want to lift up to you Mary Catherine, that you will continue to be with her, and Sally Lutz. We also want to be praying for Sue Hinkle this morning. We want to pray for others who might not be here this morning due to illness or other things, that you would be with them and keep them safe. And so, God, we come this morning and we ask, Lord, that our thoughts be turned to you. And your Son's holy and your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was set.
may be seated. So God, we come to you now and we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds that we might hear from you today. We ask, Lord, the words of my mouth, meditation, my heart, Lord, that it would be acceptable in your sight. And we ask, God, that your Spirit would speak to us today. Amen. This is our second Sunday on the series of Focus, and last week we talked about focusing on the positive or focusing on the good, and that it all starts with our thoughts. And that Paul tells us that what we think about penetrates every aspect of us, and we determine what our focus is. Today we're going to be talking about our eyes and what is it that our eyes focus on this morning, because we tend to lose focus when we get distracted and when our eyes take ourselves off of the mark or the prize, so to speak. So today we want to be looking at Scripture and how the disciples focused on Jesus and what Peter did, and ultimately how we can have our focus on Jesus. We're going to see here in Matthew chapter 14 this morning, which is a very familiar passage, how Peter had focus, but as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, his focus shifted and began to have problems. So this morning, let us begin by looking at Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. I want to give a little context, too, here, that when we're thinking about this passage and when we're saying how the disciples are told to go out to sea or go to the other side, that we're talking about the Sea of Galilee, which is a circle of a body. Basically, it's a huge lake. And the disciples, when they would go out, or the fishermen would go out, they wouldn't just go right into the middle of the sea. What they would do is they would travel around the outer banks and go all the way around to get to their destination instead of going from point A to point B. And the reason for that was because of storms and how storms would come up, that if you were out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, you would not know which direction you're facing. And so this way, you know if you're going a certain direction, you just continue around. In fact, today, if you go to Israel, ships will not cross the Sea of Galilee, even with all their technology, if a storm comes up, because they cannot tell where they're at, because storms just come right up over the mountainside really quickly, and they come out of nowhere, and the rain is so powerful that you cannot see in front of you, and the wind begins to blow. So I want to give you that context this morning as we're talking about the disciples. Also, if you want to be thinking about the size of this boat, the size of the boat was probably two canoes put together, per se. So it wasn't like a big boat we would think about today, but if you would have the size of about two canoes and you would have the disciples in this boat rowing together along the seashore. So let us now pick up our reading in Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone. So we find here that Jesus is probably up top of the mountain watching the disciples row on the other side of the things. And it says the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, I think what's interesting here, as you think about the waves, is that when I went to Israel and a storm came up, we went to a restaurant to have lunch, and it was right on the seaside, and it was just kind of a little kind of stream that rolled in there, and there was white caps that were coming in off of that stream because of the storm that had rolled up the mountainside. So imagine if there's little white caps that are coming in, like if you're at the ocean and now you're a disciple and you're trying to row a little canoe boat around and the waves are coming inside of your boat. We see here that Jesus asked them to go across to the other side because he needed some time to himself because he had just finished feeding the 5,000 people. And so he wanted to focus back on his Father and his mission. So he sent the disciples ahead so that he could refocus himself. And we see here that with the disciples, there was a lot of fear when the storm came up because Jesus was nowhere to be found. I can imagine the conversation going, where is he? Sure, he's on the land where it's safe and we're out here getting knocked around by these waves. He must have knew the storm was coming. That's why he sent us ahead. I can imagine them thinking, well, I guess if this is how I'm going to go, what better way to go than on the sea since I'm a fisherman? That they were afraid and frightened, and as the storm got stronger, their fear increased because Jesus wasn't there with them. Matthew chapter 14 now in verses 25 and 27. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. So we don't know if the disciples were out there overnight or if they went out pre-dawn. We don't know exactly how long they were out there, but Jesus didn't go out until basically it was the dawn, where there was probably fog around when the storm was still going. And they were terrified. They saw Jesus walking in them, it says it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. The disciples were distracted because they were focused on what they could see around them. They were focused on the storm. They were focused on the waves coming in the boat. And then they saw this figure walking through the storm. And they were focused on the fact that, great, now we're not going to just die, but now a ghost is going to come and visit us as well. And they were afraid because they didn't know if it was a ghost and what type of ghost it was. Reality, it was Jesus. And the first thing he says is, don't be afraid. You see, when we focus completely on Christ, there are three things, I think, that we need to focus on that do not have a place when it comes to putting Jesus as our focus. The first is that of fear. Fear has no place when we're trying to focus on Jesus. If fear exists in our life, then we will not be able to truly see Jesus, and we'll be like the disciples, and we'll say, it's a ghost, we're afraid, go away, we want nothing to do with you. That Jesus addressed that immediate reaction by saying to them, do not be afraid. That's why so many times in our lives we don't feel the presence of Jesus, because we're afraid. The disciples looked around, they could not see him, and even when they could see him, they still were afraid. Have you ever been in a situation before where you are just scared out of your wits and you're not sure how it's going to turn out, and you're focused on the fear around you because you don't know exactly what to do? That it's hard to focus on Christ when those things happen to us. It's hard to say, okay, God, I'm going to turn to you in prayer. Okay, God, I'm going to continue to keep you focused. That it's really hard to see him in the difficult times of the storm because of the fear that lies ahead of us. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that fear in my own life. I can relate back to life changes that have occurred, as well as to last February when I came down with COVID. And I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. I was scared. I was afraid. I remember going in the bathroom and just shaking and trembling because I was having a panic attack because I couldn't catch my breath. And I was thinking, oh great, this is it. This is going to be it for me. I remember through COVID having those feelings of, am I going to make it through tomorrow? Is today going to be my last day? I was scared. I was afraid. And instead of me saying to Jesus, okay, God, help me to get through this. God, help me to get on the other side of this, that I focused on the fear. I focused on what was going on around me, that I took my eyes off Jesus, and it made it even worse. Because I was so focused on everything going on that it was hard for me to say, God, where are you in the presence of this storm? Because when you're so consumed with the storm going on in your life, it's hard to say, Jesus, I'm going to focus on you. because it can be so overwhelming at times in our lives that so many times that we don't focus on Jesus and turn to Him because we forget how to do it. We panic. We're like the disciples. And we clam up and we freeze. We forget what to do. So many times we forget to see how Jesus can be working in those circumstances because of the fear that paralyzes us. You know, for some of us, our storms could be something that happened in the past of our lives. It could be something present that we've done to ourselves. It could be something about focusing on the future and the storm that lies ahead and the fear that lies ahead about the future and where the future might lie and where the future might take us. It might even be the thought of, am I going to have a future? For Peter and the rest of the disciples caused that anxiety and fear in them that in that present moment, they didn't know how to respond. And it happens to each and every one of us that we find ourselves in circumstances in life that we don't know how to respond. We know what we should do. We know we should pray. We know we should turn our eyes to Jesus. But yet, we don't know how to respond because of the fear that paralyzes us. We're reminded here in Matthew 14 that we have to realize that anxiety in our lives can lead to fear that paralyzes us. That the disciples were paralyzed by the anxiety they were going through, which led to that fear. And Jesus tells us that regardless of what happens, we need to do our best to turn our eyes to Him. And we need to try to somehow regather ourselves, refocus ourselves onto Him. Because Jesus says so many times in our lives that distractions can cause that fear and anxiety to grow even more. We look at this scripture this morning. We see Peter the bold one, Peter the one who was a leader, Peter who said, you know what, I will go with you wherever, Lord. And so Peter decides that he's going to be the one out of all the disciples to say, well, I'm going to take the step of faith here and well, if it is you, God, then I'm going to follow you here. And so Peter, being the bold individual he is, looks around at the disciples and says, well, while you guys are sitting here cowering, I am going to basically show Jesus that I have faith. Now, we don't know what Peter's heart was like, whether he was doing it because he really did have faith in God or because he was trying to get the approval of Jesus. Whatever the case is, Peter said, I'm going to do something in the midst of all this fear and anxiety. In Matthew chapter 14, verses 29 through 30. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on water and he came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. You see, there are many circumstances in life like we're just like Peter. We start out, and Lord, if it's you, tell me and I'll come to you and I'll follow you. And we begin to follow Jesus. We begin to walk on water. But then distractions come around us. The wind and the waves, they come and we lose our focus. We begin to sink. We begin to lose faith. We begin to lose hope. We begin to lose courage. Because of all the distractions that are coming at us. That we start out really well. We start out walking toward Jesus and being with Jesus. Until all of a sudden we started to sink. And we'd say, God, help me. Because of the distractions that we face. You see, that's what Satan's all about. He's about distracting us. So that as we're walking to Jesus, he wants to distract us so that we take our focus off of Jesus and we become like Peter and we begin to sink. You see, the truth is that what the devil cannot destroy, that he will distract. And the church is something he cannot destroy, folks. The church of Jesus Christ is something he has no stronghold over, so he can't destroy it, so he wants to distract us. He wants us to stay unfocused. He wants to put fear in our lives, anxiety in our lives. He wants us to sink like Peter, because if he can't destroy us, then he can distract us. We think about Jesus here too in Matthew chapter 4. And we know that passage really well, don't we? The temptation of Jesus, that Satan used every tactic in his book to try to distract Jesus, to cause him to sin, to get Jesus to take his focus off of his heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones become bread." So what does Satan do? Satan waits until we're at our weakest point to come at us, to distract us, to say, "Well, wait a second. If you're really in this place of your life, then what about this? That if you're really in your place of this life and God cares for you, then why are you going through this?" And Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes in the mouth of God." And we talked about that last week with the Psalms, meditating on God's word day and night. And Jesus had the response because he was meditating on God's word day and night. And then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands so that they will not strike a foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Satan's telling Jesus here, hey, take the easy way out. Because if you fall down and jump off this building and angels come, guess what? This entire world will follow you. You don't have to say or do anything. You just need to jump, and your angels will come for you. And Satan here is encouraging Jesus, well, take the easy way out. And again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said. "You bow down and you worship me." And Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. We find here that, again, Satan is saying to Jesus, "You don't need to die on the cross. You don't need to rise again. You don't have to go through that persecution. If you sit here and you just bow down and worship me, all this will be yours." Which is interesting, because the world belongs to God, so it's interesting how Satan would say that, well, you can have this back. So Satan was basically making Jesus an offer, knowing the fact that Jesus was already in control of this world, to see if he would say, "You know what? I really don't want to go through persecution. I really don't want to be tortured. I really don't want to die on the cross. So sure, I'll take the easy way out." Satan was trying to distract Jesus from his focus. And Satan knew he could not destroy Jesus, but he tried to distract him. Especially in that final temptation. We go to Matthew 14. We can see how the devil is working with the disciples in the boat. How he's trying to get their fear and anxiety up so they'll doubt Jesus, so they might turn from Jesus. That as we look at Matthew 14, their focus wasn't where it needed to be at, because they were distracted. This morning, as we think about focusing on Jesus, have we been distracted recently? How is it that Satan is distracting us in our lives so our eyes are not on Jesus, so we're not focused on him? It might be something subtle that we might not even be aware of and think it's not a big deal. But how is Satan trying to distract us from our mission of focusing on Jesus? See, the devil's goal is to make us ineffective as a church and Christians. His goal is to make us inward focused instead of outward focused. Focus on my own needs, my own desires. Focus on my own fears and my own anxieties. instead of focusing outward on Jesus and who Jesus is and allowing His Spirit to flow through us and to fill us. Satan wants us to be caught up in the distractions of things, because if he distracts us, then we have no impact for God's kingdom. These distractions come in many ways. Financial challenges, letting go of things the way they used to be done, relationships, families, marriages, job stress, you fill in the blank, whatever it might be, that these distractions can come in different ways. For Peter, it was the wind and the waves, and although he displayed faith in Christ by saying, I'm going to get out of the boat, and started walking on water, he lost that focus. Some of us might be like the other disciples and not like Peter. We're still stuck in the boat. We're afraid to get out of the boat. We're afraid to take that first step because of all the things going on around us that we're not sure. We're fearful. We're scared. We're distracted. That we're like the disciples cowering in the boat, that we're not ready to get out of the boat yet like Peter did. That we might say, I don't want to go contrary to the culture. We talked last week about how we're supposed to be in the world, not of the world. And so many times we stay in the boat, we're saying, okay, I'm of the world. I don't want to take risks. I don't want to take chances. I'm going to stay right here in my comfort zone. But Peter got out of the boat and took his eyes on Jesus and said, I'm going to trust you, even with just a little bit of faith for a short amount of time. He got out of that boat. When distractions came, he began to look to his left and his right rather than staying straight on and focusing on Jesus. For some of that wind and waves in our lives, we turn left and we turn right instead of just trying to stay focused on Jesus. But as soon as we kind of look out the corner of our eye, we no longer have our full attention before us on Jesus. That as we begin to see out of the corner of our eye what's going on, we lose our focus and become distracted. Matthew 14:31, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? After pulling him up from the water, Jesus tells us the third thing that cannot exist if we are following him and keeping our focus on him is doubt. Doubt. That he started walking on water and he saw, wow, this is really cool. I'm walking on water. This is amazing. Wow, this is so cool. I'm walking on water. And then doubt creeped in and he began to sink because he wondered, well, how much longer can I walk on water? How much farther can I go? Jesus, if I begin to sink, are you going to save me? Or I'm getting a little too far away from the boat. I want to just kind of stay really close to the boat. I don't want to get too far away from it. And as he began to walk further and further away from the boat, and he began to see how far he was getting, he was beginning to doubt, am I going to make it back to the boat? It's too far away. He began to doubt. In the middle of the storm, he doubted, questioning whether Jesus would actually be able to sustain him. Maybe today these are the same questions we ask ourselves and as we doubt. And we ask ourselves so many times, God, are you really in the middle of all this? God, it feels like I'm being tossed by the wind and the waves. God, are you really here? How do I know you'll sustain me? How do I know you'll get me through it? Maybe we're sitting here and we're asking ourselves, are you even really present in my life, in my world, my family, in my church? You see, we begin to look around and see trouble everywhere, and it's leading us to fear, anxiety, and doubt. Folks, that's where we're living right now in the world. That's the reality the church faces. The challenge we face is we're facing a world that is living in fear, anxiety, and doubt. And that carries over in our own lives because we begin to say, well, what if there's something to what's going on? What if there's something here? What if there's something there? And we begin to doubt and fear creeps in, anxiety creeps in, and we take our focus off of God because of the fact that we're surrounded with so much fear, anxiety, and doubt that we begin to let that creep into our lives and our churches. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and our strength and a present help in trouble. That long before Jesus was born, and the Old Testament, it says that God is our refuge, strength, and ever-present help. That He is there in our time of trouble, in our time of need, that he was there to help us through that fear, anxiety, and doubt. But we have to make a choice to allow him to be our help. Peter only noticed the waves around him. He didn't really see. Jesus was right there in front of him. Although Jesus was right there in front of him, he still didn't see him when he took his eyes off of him because of the waves around him. I wonder if we lose our focus on Christ because we're convinced that there's no hope in our situation to be found. That we say, well, why even bother? Why even try? I know I've said that in my own life. Why bother? Why try? I don't understand. And yet God says, are you focusing on me and are you keeping your faith on me? Because when I say, why bother? Why even try? I'm relying on my own self and I'm letting all the other things around me get to me instead of saying, God, I'm focusing on you and God, it's your will, not my will. But so many times other things around us can change us. Today, as we journey through the story of Peter and the 12 disciples, that Peter was the one who took a step of faith. But it's not just enough to take a step of faith, but to maintain that faith and keep our focus on Jesus. He knew the only way to Jesus was getting out of that boat and not staying in the boat. He knew if he's going to walk on water, he couldn't stay in the boat. He had to get out of the boat. You see, the world wants us to be comfortable. It wants us to rely on the earthly treasures we have. It wants us to stay in the boat where it's safe and secure, that when everything else is going around us, we say, I'm okay because at least I'm in the boat. It's a safe place for me. I feel comfortable here. I don't want to get out of the boat. Don't ask me to get out of the boat because I'm good right where I am at. We find here that the world doesn't want us to take chances at times to play it safe. But I think when we're looking at this passage this morning, that God says if we're going to make an impact for him eternally, if we're going to make a difference for him, then we got to get out of that boat and we got to begin to walk on water. Even when we face all the challenges, we say we're not sure how it's going to be done or whatever. I myself have to ask myself that question all the time. How is it going to get done? How are we going to accomplish this? Because sometimes you look at things and you say, I just don't know how it's going to be done. And that's where you got to look again at Jesus and say, okay, I'm going to get out of the boat and I'm going to trust you. I don't know how. Caught up in the wind and the waves, but yet I'm going to trust you, God, that you're going to provide or take care of what needs to be done here. That's what Jesus was all about. That God wants us to do something eternal. That's why he came and died on the cross. That's why he rose from the dead. That's why he's in heaven waiting to come back, because he didn't do it so we'd be comfortable. He did it so we can be challenged to get out of the boat, to walk on water, to make a difference here on earth. Let's face it, we can't walk on water, folks, if we're not willing to get out of the boat. God wants to do great things here through us in this church, in our community. But we have to get out of the boat. We have to be willing to take that step of faith and get out of the boat and begin to walk on water, even when everything's coming at us and around us and we're seeing out the corner of our eyes going, well, I don't know about this and I don't know about that, that we still need to get out of the boat and focus on God, and God will bring us to him and provide for us. See, this morning as we continue to embark on this new year together, it's really easy to stay in the boat and to see everything around us that could be going wrong, or all the frustrations and trials and tribulations go on, because it's easy to focus on. I know it is. But it's a lot harder to get out of the boat and say, all right, God, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And maybe you're in the boat this morning, you're saying, I'm frustrated. And you're saying, I don't want to get out of the boat because I'm frustrated. And if I get out of the boat, I don't know what's going to happen. But God says, in order to deal with our frustrations, we got to get out of the boat. That means we have to do something. We have to take that first step like Peter did. So this morning, I want to challenge all of us as we go through each and every day this week to not get distracted with things out of the corner of our eyes, to not sit in the boat and allow our frustration to get to us, because it can. I know it can. But to focus on God and say, God, you know what? I'm going to get out of the boat and I'm going to just do my best to follow you, and whatever that takes me, then I will follow. But it's hard to get out of the boat sometimes, folks. I know. I struggle with that myself because the boat is safe. You know the boat. You know what's inside the boat. And once you get out of that boat, that safety net is gone. And you have to really trust God. Today, let us be like Peter. Let us take that step of faith. Let us get out of the boat. Let us keep our eyes on Jesus. And let's start walking on water together. Amen.
Thank you for that message. Please stand as we close this morning by singing The Solid Rock. I want to read the last phrase of the chorus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So let's keep our focus on the Lord.
This morning, and we all walk through this door, and we're the only ones who know what burdens we're bearing. We're the only ones who know what anxiety and fear we have in our lives, what we're going through right now. So let us just allow God to be that solid rock on which we stand, to give us the hope that we need in the midst of all that fear and anxiety, to get us through each and every single day. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's what God has called us to do. And so let us do our best this week to focus on Christ, that solid rock. And may the grace and peace of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen. May you go in peace.